As king, he believed that Thai monastic life needed to be reformed, purged of superstitious practices, and returned to the pristine model of the early canonical scriptures, the scriptures that we call the Pali Canon. See, he was, in addition to being a monk and a king, also a modernist. He wanted to reform the Sangha to bring it back to what he thought was the pristine ancient practice of the Buddha as it was reflected in the Pali Canon. We haven't talked much about this before, but this is an important aspect of contemporary Buddhism as you'll encounter it throughout Southeast Asia and, in fact, throughout the world. There is a sort of, there is a modernizing impulse to strip away what people think of as being superstitious practices, things that have been added to the tradition over the course of its history, and return to the ancient practice of the Buddha. You see this also in other religious traditions as well. This is really the form, a form of Buddhist modernism. Now, he gave institutional expression to these ideas by creating a Thammayut movement. This is the name of his movement in the Thai Sangha, the Thammayut. During the reign of his son, King Chula Longkorn, who reigned from 1868 to 1910. As you can see, he bridged the gap between the 19th century and the 20th century. This reform movement was extended throughout the Thai Sangha and given the status of an official orthodoxy. So King Mongkut created a reform movement that eventually was extended to the whole Sangha and became, as you might say, sort of the modernizing matrix of Thai monastic life. It's one of the reasons why the Thai monastic system has been able to adapt as well as it has to the challenge of modernity. And it still provides the ideology, the conceptual framework for the relationship between the Thai royal family and Thai monastic life. Thailand continues to be an example, even today, of the close alliance between king and sangha in the extension and the protection of Buddhist values. This is something that you might well keep in mind if you ever have a chance to visit Bangkok. It's actually a great place to be a tourist, although the traffic these days is getting pretty formidable. It's pretty tough to weave your way through rush hour traffic in Bangkok, and rush hour lasts pretty much all day long. When you visit there, when you stop in Bangkok, one of the great standard stops on the tourist route is the royal shrine that's called the Temple of the Emerald Buddha. And you'll see very clearly in that place this intersection of royal values and Thai Buddhist values. It's really a shrine that honors the monarchy and also honors at the same time the central place of the Buddha within the structure of the Thai national identity. The center of the Temple of the Emerald Buddha is a very small but quite impressive little emerald statue of the Buddha that was discovered in somewhat remarkable circumstances back several centuries ago, back in the 15th century, I believe. And it serves not just as a focus of worship, but as a symbol of Thai national identity and a symbol of the legitimacy of the royal family. It's well worth reflecting on as a indication of the relationship between Thai Buddhist values and the values of the royal family. Now, the last figure that I want to discuss with you is Aung San Suu Kyi of Burma, a democratic activist and Nobel laureate. She's another striking example for us of the intersection between religious and political values in the Theravada countries of Southeast Asia. Aung San Suu Kyi was born in 1945. As the daughter of Burma's national hero, General Aung San. He was the leader of the Burmese liberation movement in World War II and was assassinated in 1947, just after the end of the Second World War and just as Burma was going to receive its independence from British and Japanese domination.